Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The NBA reporter for ESPN, Nick Friedell, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Nick, it's always a pleasure. Let's start with this. Adrian Wojnarowski, your colleague at ESPN, about an hour ago had a tweet that of 302 NBA players that were tested for coronavirus, 16 tested positive. 16 of 302. We're trying to figure out, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
I think it's just an expected thing, guys, because the NBA all along knew that if they were trying to pull this bubble off, that there were going to be positive tests. So I think that's right within kind of the number that they always figured. My biggest fear, both as a fan and as a journalist who covers the league, isn't so much the tests that were going to come before, because they were definitely going to come before everybody got to Orlando. My fear was, what happens if and when a star gets the virus in Orlando? Because I think that changes the dynamic and the public perception a little more. And obviously the balance of power within the end of the regular season and the playoffs. So for now, I think it's kind of business as usual. The league expected guys to test positive. They have. The issue is going to be when the bright lights are on and everybody's watching and trying to figure out exactly what's going on, if a star player suddenly has to sit for 2 weeks or more.
And is there anything in the schedule to mitigate this or any sort of personnel moves that the teams can make? I know they're going to have bigger rosters, but if something like this happens, let's say in the conference finals where you're heading into game three and a member of the Bucks, for example, is out, do they just have to proceed forward and that's just a bad break?
Yeah. Essentially, guys, I think it's like a player tweaking a hamstring at the wrong time, or turning a knee the wrong way, and you go, oh, he's probably going to miss a few weeks. I think that's the way that the league and certainly people within the league are looking at it, that this is now just the cost of trying to pull this off in the midst of a pandemic. So that really is the worst-case scenario. If Giannis or LeBron or Kawhi, you know, we could go down the list. But if a big name guy on a big name team that feels like it has a legit chance to win a title, if somebody tests positive during that stretch, then things are going to get very interesting and could be very tough for the league, because people are going to go, well, was it really worth trying to pull all of this off? But in the moment, I think you just proceed. You knew all along. You told the players when they were trying to figure out what was coming next. Guys will test positive. They have, and you just try to keep moving forward each day.
Do you see it always being where guys, you know, when they don't have the symptoms, but they're testing positive? Do you see it any way that these guys play? Do you see there being any medical support that play with a mask if this happens, or you think, hey, if these guys got it, it's done, it's a done deal?
Well, I read that thing like four times, that manual, especially that part of the manual.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is very clear. If you test positive, you sit for a minimum of 2 weeks. And that's what I don't think enough fans understand in the moment, because, again, it's one thing for some bench players to test positive, and certainly we've seen in this last wave over the last week, you've got guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Buddy Hield. You've got Jokic in Denver, you've got more name players, but there is a certain level of player that if they just kind of disappear from the team for, again, a minimum of 2 weeks, and it's probably going to be closer to three by the time they go through all the tests and the screenings that it will take to get back on the floor and get back into some kind of shape after sitting, then starting and stopping. When you stop like that, that's when I think there's going to be a real issue potentially in the bubble. But as far as, you know, I thought early on it was, well, you test positive and then you wait a few days, and if you test negative twice, you go back on the floor. But the NBA spelled it out very clearly. If you test positive and the second test comes back positive, at a minimum, you are out for 2 weeks. And then you have to go through a bunch of different screenings because, I mean, let's get real, the league doesn't want to get sued. If a guy does come back and is having issues in the moment. So it's all a new ground for everybody. I think everybody is trying to work through it as things happen. But if somebody tests positive, there's no other way around it. You are missing at least 14 days, and then you're hoping that you feel better very quickly.
ESPN's Nick Friedell joining us here on 95.7 The Game. So Trevor Ariza opted out. Avery Bradley opted out. Willie Cauley-Stein opted out. Are we, based on that phone call that happened with Kyrie Irving a few Fridays ago, there was some discussion about maybe a massive movement towards players sitting out the restart. How do we feel between now and late July? Do we feel as if we know who's out and who's in, and that anyone who's in is probably going forward? Or is there still some concern that a big wave of players could stand up and say, you know what, forget this, I'm out?
I still think there's a gray area, personally, because I think there's a long time between where we are now and the actual start of this. And even more, guys, I think my concern all along has been, we've all seen how that Vegas Summer League plays out over time, and guys don't want to be there for, you know, more than a week. My real concern is, even more than will guys opt in or will they opt out, or will they decide at the last minute, hey, I just don't want to be away from my family, or whatever the reason may be, I think there's still going to be a couple guys that just say, this is not for me. The issue is when you get down to the reality of where the league was at before the stoppage, there were only a handful of teams, as there usually are, that have a legit chance that felt like they did to go win a title. So what happens once the games do start in Orlando, and a lot of these guys are like, you know what, I don't want to be isolated like this. I want to be with my family. There are other things that I would rather be doing. I'm not as focused on playing every other day in games that I don't feel like matter in the grand scheme of things. So there are so many different layers to how this thing potentially could play out. But the issue to me is the focus it's going to take, not only the health luck that it would take in general, guys staying healthy, not testing positive, but the focus it will take to start in early July, at least get there and have some semblance of a training camp, and then go all the way through potentially mid-October. That is going to take a great physical and mental toll. And I am very curious to see how many players, after a couple weeks, after a month, just decide, you know what, I just do not want to be here that much longer, and I will do whatever it takes to kind of start to make my way home, because I don't feel like my team has a legitimate chance to win.
Nick, one of my favorite shows growing up was a show called The Love Boat. And on The Love Boat, we all know about Captain Steubing, but Julie McCoy, cruise director. Are any of these NBA teams thinking in terms of getting a Julie McCoy to offset this sort of quarantine boredom that NBA teams are going to face?
That's a good question, but I don't think there's enough stuff, guys, that they could do that they'd feel comfortable outside of that bubble in to have it be worth it, that to have the director come around and be like, okay, here's what we're doing today, and this is the issue. And it all of this stuff ties together, because when guys get there, and this started to happen a couple weeks ago, we all saw guys start to to see what was in that manual, and you're like, wait, wait, what? We have to do what for how long? We're not able to go different places and go see the different theme parks, you know, bounce around to the different clubs in the Orlando area. No, I mean, everybody is kind of stuck with where they're at. You play basketball, you go back to your hotel. And again, that is the issue. There's just not a lot of leeway, because I think that's the league's single biggest fear, is somebody gets it on a team, they test positive, and they spread it around, and then, you know, you've got half of a team that can't play, or you've got three or four guys on a different team that can't play. So they're trying as best they can to steer away from that possibility. But in order to do that, you can't allow guys to really do much of anything aside from stay on the campus and do what they can. So it's such a strange set of circumstances, but the reason that this has gotten to this point is because there's $1.2 billion on the line. That is the reason. It's all about the money. And if players are starting to waver, and if they're starting to go crazy a little bit, sitting in their rooms and not being able to do much, that's the reminder that both the teams and the leagues have to tell everybody, we're here to get paid, and that's what you have to put at the front of your mind when you're having those moments where you're wondering, do I really want to be here or not?
No question. The professionalism that's going to have to be displayed is going to have to be off the Richter. You're absolutely right. And what's at stake? So do they understand what's at stake if it doesn't happen? So what if you feel pretty strong that guys are going to get bored at the end of this and just say, tap out, no more? If that happens, you see them shutting this down completely? Or do you think that, you know, far as just, even if it's not necessarily the coronavirus, just the fact of guys are just, like you talked about, mentally fatigued?
I don't see them shutting it down unless there is an outbreak of the virus. I think they will do everything in their power. The league, the Players Association, they will do everything they can to finish out these games and to try as best they can to have as normal a playoff stretch and run and crown a champion as they possibly could. Because they all understand that if you don't play this year and you don't get the $1 billion plus that's on the line, trying to play next year, guys, and we've talked about it a little bit in the last couple months here. The issue to me when you talk to people around the league is the idea of trying to play this year is very difficult given the circumstances. Trying to play next year, if you don't play this year and you have to tear up the CBA and you have to go through the process of getting a new agreement in place, knowing that there may not be fans next year, that is going to be almost more difficult than the situation that everybody's in now. So I think in the moment, the focus is let's get this done. Let's try as best we can to play at the same level of competition. But that part is going to be very intriguing to watch for fans, because, guys, I think those first few games, there's going to be so much interest, and there's going to be a celebration. All right, basketball's back. We've got something to watch. There's something entertaining going on. And then after those first few games, at least early before the playoffs start, our guys going to go, especially on like the Wizards and the Suns and the Spurs, all these teams that are at the end. I think that fans may go, all right, wake me up when the playoffs get here, just like they would in any other regular year. So that's going to be interesting, but there's at least in theory going to be a lot of games to watch every day for a while.
ESPN's Nick Friedell joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Nick, final question for you. For teams like the Warriors, who aren't even involved in this thing, but need to be focused on the upcoming lottery and then the NBA draft, how are they going about their prep process? The extra time is great, but can they meet with these guys? Can they work these guys out? Have they made any progress whatsoever?
I think let's take the Warriors. I think it's going to be important for them to get guys back into the gym. And just in talking to people in the organization recently, I think what you'll see, guys, is the Stephs and the Draymonds, they'll take a little bit of a vacation as best they can now, and then you're going to see them start to come into the practice facility a little more and work on different stuff, and you'll see Clay in there more. So they're going to have a lot of individualized time, but Steve Kerr was open about this when we talked to him a little while ago. You've got all these other bad teams like the Hawks and the Hornets that are saying, oh, let's get together and play a little league maybe in a few months. The Warriors don't want any part of that. This is a team that went to 5 straight finals. They know what they have. They know they have to prepare for the draft and potentially getting other players involved via free agency or trade. They know that they have to get their stars ready to roll. And Kerr said, I'm going to keep pushing the league to try and get a mini camp or two, just like football, because we know who we have. We know the system we want to play, and we have to keep our focus on getting those guys healthy and ready. The issue is, and it's a big one, when you're off for this long, nobody knows what it's going to look like when everything gets up and running again. The one thing I'd say, though, is in talking to people throughout the league, everybody's kind of in universal agreement here. While this is good for the Warriors and you get everybody healthy, and Steph and Clay, and you get Wiggins into some kind of rhythm with these guys, there's this belief that the window is not going to stay open very long to try and win titles. Because if the Warriors come out and they're interesting and they're a 4 or 5 seed, guys, people are going to be interested. But when you've won at the level they have for so many years, getting to the second round, it just isn't the same thing. I still think they can win a title, but they better do it early on when these guys are still closer to 30, that core. Because once you get a little older, we all know in pro sports, that window shuts a lot quicker than everybody usually thinks.
NBA reporter for ESPN, always a terrific appearance. Nick Friedell with us here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks, Nick. Have a great weekend.
All right, you got it, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.